by your stripes, I'm closer than I have ever been.
Yeah, yeah.
I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. And by your my sin erased, I am.
The presence of God, and you hear people singing his praises, worshiping him, and pulling you into worship. And all week long, you've been doing it alone. And then you get in here, and everybody's doing it together. I mean, don't you just want to just bask in it? Don't you feel that this morning? Thank you, praise and worship team, for bringing us into the presence of God. And thank you, Lord, that you know our name. You know, when we come to the Father and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, we ask him to be Lord of our lives, to guide us and direct us in our days ahead, and then we place our life in his hands, then we know when we go to the Father, he hears us. He knows our voice. And we learn his voice as well. Thank you, Jesus. We welcome you to the Carpenter Shop International Church this morning, and we're excited that you're here worshiping the Lord with us. Let's just pray at this time. Father, we thank you that you do know our names. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into a comfortable setting together and worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we still have this freedom in America today. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just continue, Father, to allow us to honor that freedom, to utilize that freedom, to come together, to become energized and encouraged by like people and fellowship with one another. We ask, Lord, that today, we remember that you do know our name. Lord, of all the things that you've brought us through, the challenges that we face of health, of finances, of discouragement, of mental challenges, Lord, we know that you're walking us through those things. You're providing the change in us that is so needed. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. And Lord, today we thank you, Lord, for the tithes and offerings that we bring to you. We ask, Lord, that you utilize them to better your kingdom, that you utilize them in this community, that we show kindness and love, and that you would just continue, Father, to draw others to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, you can bring your tithes and offerings. We have buckets here at the front. Thank you.
you're thankful for the scars in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you know it or not, but you've been singing songs this morning about deliverance and battles and no fire can harm me and all these other things. Have you been noticing what you're singing, or you just kind of fall into the routine? It's very easy to do that, isn't it? I want you to pay attention to what you sing. I sang a song a moment ago, and I thought, no fire can harm me, because you know my name. Amen. There's not a place you can go that the Lord doesn't know where you are. Amen. David said, I could even go down to the pits of the grave, and he knows where I am. Aren't you thankful for that today? He knows where you are right now. If you're frustrated, he knows you're frustrated. If you're tired, he knows you're tired. Amen. If you're excited, he knows that too. But if you're challenged and you're going through hardship, today is the day that I'm going to get a chance to deposit a word in your spirit that I pray that will be helpful to you. Good to see missionaries from Romania with the Barnes couple. Would you guys stand? Missionaries to Romania. Amen. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Staying over at one of the Barnabas House properties. Haven't had a chance to really connect with them that much yet, but we're glad you're here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your heart, just to hear your passion for what's coming up in the future. Hope to have you here sometime so that you can share what your heart is with Carpenter Shop Church. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Come on. Come on, stand up with me today. Come on, just love on him for a moment. I feel the Holy Spirit in this room today. Come on. Just love on him a moment. Just love on him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him. Just free worship. Open up your heart and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah, you're worthy, Lord. We bless you. Saying that he's working on the heart today, and it's not a spiritual thing, it's a physical thing. So if that's you, just lay your hand on. If you're watching online and that's you, just lay your hand on your heart. And right now, Father, we thank you that you're the healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. That's your name. You're the one who heals all of our diseases, our sicknesses. So we just pray right now, God, that every heart, somebody say heart, every heart will align itself with God's perfect plan. I see vessels breaking through, blood flowing clearly, blood flowing purely. No need for surgery. No need for a stent. We have the Holy Ghost today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just doing the stent right now. Thank you for just breaking through. Thank you for angioplasm right here. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. I believe that. I believe somebody's receiving just heart surgery right now, God. You're just doing things. You're pressing through. Blood's flowing through. And God, we thank you that you're our healer. In the name of Jesus, we worship you today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shita la burrama. Bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Yeah. Barnes couple, I just want to pray for you right now, because I see you as almost like a kid in a candy store. And there's so much, I hear the Lord saying, there's just so much in your heart. And you're looking at it, you're looking out there in the future, and you're thinking, God, how are we gonna get this out of our heart to make it a reality? And I just hear the Lord say, be at peace. Psalm 46 is your psalm today. Be still and know that I am God. The same God that calls is the same God that provides. If he gives you vision, he gives you provision. Come on. So it's yours. Just lift your hands right now and say, Lord, thank you for provision. Thank you for provision, for provision. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're staying in a place that is, I remember when Pastor Joy and I were thinking about establishing the Barnabas ministry, I went to my pastor, and I didn't have to ask him permission, but I wanted his blessing. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I just wanted him to approve of what I was doing. And you know what he said to me 12 years ago? He said, Wallace, you've got a wonderful thing in your heart, but it'll never work. Okay. He said, you'll never be able to finance it. Okay. And guess what? He stayed there several times. Okay. He said, you'll never be able to finance it. And you know what? I haven't financed it. Guess who has? God has. God has financed it. Come on. Where there's vision, there's provision. Where there's vision, there's provision. And so, Lord, I just thank you that all that's in the heart of the Barnes couple today, that you're able to do exceedingly. Oh, here's another one, 320. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could even think or ask. In Jesus' name. I'm excited for you to come back here so we can help you pay the bill. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, listen, God's a healer. I don't know what you're struggling with physically, but God's a healer. His name is Jehovah Rapha. Say that, Jehovah Rapha. It's the name of God. He's the healer. Father, in the name of Jesus right now of Nazareth, I just touch and agree with my sister right now, Lord. You're able to heal her. Your word says he sent forth his word and healed them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for complete and total healing. Right now, in the strong name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look, you created the atmosphere, okay? You did it. You did it. You worshiped. And when God's people worship, you know what happens? The atmosphere for miracles come down. Amen. He dwells in the midst of the praises of his people. So right now, where you are right now, just thank him. Just begin to thank him. Thank him for what your petition is. This is important. Thank him for what your petition is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we bless you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you that you're with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us today as we deposit your word into the hearts, the mind, the spirit of every person. Not just in this room, but abroad. Not just in this room, but abroad to the nations, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, smile at somebody before you see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, kudos to the band today. Would you appreciate the worship team today? Come on. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. You guys do an incredible job. Thank you, backline people. Everybody has a part. Amen. We're a big puzzle, and you can't accomplish what you need to accomplish without every person helping. So we appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Favor in the fire. Favor in the fire. Today I want to transfer to your spirit, man, a word from the Lord. Favor in the fire. Amen? Favor in the fire. It was Dr. George Wood, former general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, of which we are a part. We're a part of the Assemblies of God in terms of denomination. And he was preaching to a crowd of about 20,000 people. And imagine that in your mind's eye. I was there. A national meeting that we hold every 2 years. And he posed an interesting question to the crowd that day. And he asked this question. He said, what if you were given one of those Bartimaeus moments, one of those Bartimaeus moments where you were just given a blank check? Remember the story of Bartimaeus sitting by the old dusty roads of Jericho? I've been to Jericho. That's where we get on the camel. Amen. That's where you pull into that little packed parking lot. Some of you that have been there with me know what I'm talking about. And you get off and they bombard you trying to get in your wallet and pocketbook and let you buy stuff. But he was sitting by there, and it was a busy place as it is today. He was sitting by the roadside begging because, you see, Jesus was going to pass through Jericho. No J is pronounced in Israel. Jericho. So he passed through, for us, Jericho. Okay? And he was going to pass through there because he was heading up to where? Jerusalem. For the high and holy days, the feasts, the festivals. And so Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is going to pass through Jericho, that city of palms, that oasis in the desert, if you will. He knows that he's going to pass through there. And so he positioned himself for blessing. How many of you have positioned yourself for God's blessing? Amen. You worship, you serve, you give your tithe, you're obedient to the Lord. You're positioning yourself for God to do incredible things when you do that. And so he said, sometimes God just gives you those Bartimaeus moments. What if you were given one of those Bartimaeus moments, he asked, and the Lord simply gave you a blank check? Blind Bartimaeus, who was given the attention of the miracle worker Jesus as he passed through and was posed that great question by the master, Bartimaeus, what would you have of me? That's his simple question. You read it in the Bible. Bartimaeus, what would you have of me? In other words, Bartimaeus was just given that opportunity to make his request. And Dr. Wood said, what would you ask for if you were given permission by Jesus just to have one request granted? I've heard people say, oh, I tell you. I've heard people speculate. I'll tell you, if I was just given one opportunity, I would just say, I want $1 million. Can I just tell you something? $1 million will get away from you. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about that because I've never had $1 million. Yes, you have. Over a long haul, you've had $1 million. Some of you have. It'll get away from you. And Dr. Wood finally revealed his answer. He said the one thing that he would desire more than anything in the world would be the favor of God. He said $1 million could run out, but if you've got the favor of God, you never run out of anything. Okay? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, provision. If you got the favor of God, you got everything. What is favor? Well, what is this phenomenon? What is this descriptive word, the favor of God, that appears over 145 times in the Bible? Favor is the goodness of God. Come on, I got your cheat sheets above your head. Amen. It's the goodness of God on an individual. Favor is God's approval. It's God's affirmation. It's God's divine, here we go again, provision upon someone. It's divine assistance or support for someone to accomplish a task. The Bible is filled with reminders. It's filled with reminders of God's goodness. Psalm 5, verse 12 says this, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor as with a shield." I know people who, in fact, I've had this said to me before. Yeah, but you're a preacher. Oh, come on. You know, God looks out for you because, in fact, they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, listen, let me ask you to pray for me. You got a closer line with the man upstairs. Number one, he's not the man upstairs, okay? That's not a good term for him. He's Jesus. He's God Almighty. And guess what? I don't have any different of a line than you do, okay? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all come the same way, amen? I don't have this special access because I tell you what I do have more than you have, and that's responsibility, okay, and accountability. To whom much is given, help me here, much is required. I'll be judged with a harsher judgment than you will. I'll be judged to greater standards than you will, okay? And so Psalm tells us, you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him, the righteous, people who are into right living, people who have made the decision, the conscious, the willful decision to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, what are we going to do? We will serve the Lord. Amen? Psalm 90, verse 17, let the favor, here we go, of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Psalm 84, 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No, look, I love this. No good thing, come on. No good thing does he withhold to those who walk uprightly. How many of y'all are receiving the word of God today? Come on. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. How many of you got grandkids and they have ticked you off? Come on. They messed up something of yours. They broke something of yours. But you get over it so quick. Okay? It only lasts for a moment. But the favor that you have upon your grandkids is a lifetime. Amen? Don't you touch my grandkids, okay? I'm fixing to slap somebody. Okay? You get upset when people start messing with your youngins, okay? For his anger is but a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The Bible is filled with examples of individuals who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, as we approach that classic Christmas story, the angel of the Lord visited Mary, and you know what he said? Mary was highly favored, and God was with her. Amen? The Bible teaches us in Genesis 6, verse 8, that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among all the people that he walked with God. That was his testimony. And God spoke to him who had known no rain. Can you imagine not to know what it's like to get soaking wet? Had known any rain upon the earth all of his days. And God tells him, now here's a man who knows he doesn't understand rain, okay? Never been through a gully washer. How many of y'all know what a gully washer is? Never been through a rainstorm, but God says, hey, I want you to build a boat. I'm going to borrow Pastor Joy, one of her favorite words, ginormous boat. Amen. She uses the word ginormous a lot. I'm glad she's not talking about me when she uses it. Okay. But God calls him to build this ginormous boat. And the Lord spoke to him at a time when there had been no rain upon the earth all of his days. And he tells him to build an ark on dry ground. Likewise, Moses finds favor with God, just like Noah. Moses finds favor with God. He was the one who was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of bondage to the promised land. Abraham also found favor with God. God was with him, and God put him in a position to leave all the comforts of what he knew, his home, his father's house, the land that he was a part of, and he tells him to go to a place. Here we go. Here's the details that I'll show you. Okay? Come on. I need a little more details than that, God. How many of you have ever been told something by the Lord and you knew it was in your spirit, but you just didn't get all the parts of the contract? Come on. Anybody who's in the ministry knows that story well, okay? You don't get the details. God puts you to the test. He's testing your faith. And the Lord said to Abraham, guess what? I'll show you. And Abraham walked with God and became the father of many nations. Joseph also found favor with God. You don't have to go far in the Bible to find individuals who had God's favor on their life. Joseph found favor. God prospered him, gave him great success. Joseph found favor with Potiphar, who put him in charge of his household, and God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. Amen? Listen, when you see God's favor come upon somebody, when you know somebody who's specifically gifted in an area and the favor of God's upon them, you know what you ought to do? You ought to surround yourself with those kinds of people. You know why? Because favor is contagious. Do you remember what God said concerning Abraham in Genesis 12? This is why it won't be long. In just a few weeks, we'll have some people from Israel here. Some people who are devoted to spending their lives in the nation of Israel. I bless Israel. You know why? Because if you bless Israel, you know what's going to happen? You yourself going to be blessed. Amen? Genesis chapter 12, he said, I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Don't tell me favor don't have some sort of impartating power. Favor is contagious. Even the world says this, honey, it ain't what you know. It's who you know, all right? And you have found in your own life, even outside of the spiritual realm, that knowing the right person makes a great deal of difference. Hang around those persons who are in touch with God. Hang around those persons who are touched by God. Financially invest in those people who are blessed by God. And you too will also be blessed if you bless the people of God. It's a principle that works. I do this. I do this. I live this. I'm not just preaching this. I live this way. I see God bless all the time. Reciprocal blessings back to my life. People give me. Somebody gave me money this morning in my pocket. How much is it? I don't know. I hadn't counted it yet. And all they said was, happy birthday. And my question is, what are you waiting for? Okay. Amen. No, I'm not begging for money. If you don't give me a dollar, I'm going to be fine. But there's principle involved here. Sow seed into the lives of God's people. And you know what happens? You get a crop, okay? You get a crop. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. You writing this down, brother? Amen. Blessed down, shaken together and running over. Luke 6:38. Shall men pour into your bosom? You know, you say, well, the preacher's asking for money this morning. No, I'm not. I got everything I need. But I can always use more, okay? Amen. And you know what I've discovered about more? More is good because guess what I have when I have more? I have more to give. I'm blessed to be a what? Come on. Oh, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm able to give to someone else. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I believe we're getting a breakthrough. Amen. So you need to hang around those people, bless those people who you look at and you say, oh, the favor of God's upon him. I want to sow into their life. Amen. It's an amazing principle. Hang around those people who are in touch with God and touched by God. We all have needs. Sometimes it's an area of healing. By the Spirit today, we hear the Lord say somebody needed a heart condition taken care of. I believe that happened. Amen. Sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we need financial breakthrough. Sometimes we just simply need encouragement. Sometimes we need joy. Sometimes we need peace. Sometimes we just need some strength for the journey. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. There are lots of needs, but the greatest thing that you could ever receive for all of your needs is the favor of God, the goodness of God, to be released upon your circumstance. Let me submit to you this morning that this favor doesn't come at the drop of a hat. God's just not passing out this stuff like candy to a kid. It doesn't come that way. The individuals that I mentioned to you just a moment ago, one by one, I mentioned those individuals to you this morning. I want you to look at their lives and you will discover anybody who's blessed has been stressed, honey. Anybody who has been blessed by God has also been through some fire in their life. Come on. You didn't get it easy. You didn't get where you are by just, you know, God just saying, oh, I'm just going to bless him. Now, guess what? Sometimes God does that. How many of you have ever received something you didn't deserve? Come on. I have many times. But I've also received because a price has been paid in my life in many areas. Amen? These guys were all tested. They all went through the fire. Noah went through the fire. Noah was insulted. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this guy who's listen, construction, on dry ground building. He didn't build a 14-foot Carolina skiff to go hunting in. This guy built a boat. Ginormous. He built a big boat. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was laughed at. Lost all of his friends. But guess what? He was right. Okay. God spoke to him to build this ginormous boat on the dry ground where it had never rained before. And it was the favor of God, the goodness of God, that spared Noah and his family when the great flood destroyed the earth with water. God led Noah and he shut up the animals with him and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. And all of them got into this big boat. And guess what? The Lord God took his blessed finger and shut the door. Can I just tell you something? We have people on this earth today who need to find the favor of God concerning the salvation of their life, because just like it was in the day of Noah, one day the Lord God is going to shut the door on his grace and there'll be no more. People need to get ready. Jesus is coming. If you're here today, or if you're in the sound of my voice and you've not made it right with the Master, today's your day. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Trust him with the details of your life and watch him bless your socks off. He can do it. Moses never got to see the promised land. You know why? Because of the disobedience of the Israelites. But he was still favored and he was still used mightily by the Lord. He became known as the greatest leader of all time. Joseph went through the fire. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison. But God favored Joseph, and that favor took him from the prison, come on, honey, to the palace. It took him from the prison to the palace, and he one day left the prison, and the next thing you know, he's ruling over all of Egypt. Can I tell you something? God's favor can do incredible things. Daniel, the Old Testament, was thrown into the lion's den, but God still favored him with divine protection. He favored him with respect from King Nebuchadnezzar, and divine purpose and calling upon his life was fulfilled. These are all examples. These are all reminders that God's favor can come to us regardless of how difficult our circumstances seem, no matter where we are. God's favor can come in the midst of the fire. Come on, somebody. God's favor can come in the midst of the fire. God's favor on our lives can open doors. God's favor on our lives can shut doors and make things possible that seem to be impossible. If God be for us, who can be against us? Come on. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. If God be for us, who can be against us? Today we're going to focus just a few more minutes on the Daniel story of the three Hebrew boys. Remember in the book of Daniel, it was the wickedness, the evil, the idolatry that was evident in the person of King Nebuchadnezzar. The story of Daniel goes back to the ancient days of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar was controlling people. Sound familiar? King Nebuchadnezzar was controlling people. He was manipulating people, and they were forced to submit to his evil leaders and to his officials. And God allowed Daniel to be used in a mighty way that would ultimately change the very course of Nebuchadnezzar's life. God would allow Nebuchadnezzar to attempt to kill three Hebrew boys in order to teach the king that he really did not have the power over life and death, but God had the power over life and death. And God would punish this man. He would punish him for his evil ways and eventually strip him of all of his power and then take 7 years. God's number seven is for what? For completion. It would take him 7 years to be restored. Listen, when God's in control, he's in control. In other words, God showed King Nebuchadnezzar it was really God Almighty that is in control. Amen? Listen, today you and I are facing circumstances where we're seeing an antichrist spirit. Some of you are not going to like what I say here, but it's just the truth. You're seeing an antichrist spirit of control in our nation. Amen? Now you're not good enough to put a mask on your face. You need two of them. Next thing you know, you're going to be wearing a helmet, boots, gloves, everything else, because they're in control. They're telling you what to do. Okay? This is an antichrist spirit. We're experiencing manipulation. We're experiencing deception. We have a people who are sitting under the influence of a wicked media, a manipulative media led by the devil in many cases, that seeks to imprison the minds of God's people and put them in fear. People are afraid. People are running scared. People are locked in, locked up, afraid to come out, afraid to connect with human society. In other words, in many ways, people today are manipulated and misinformed. They're in the fire of this pandemic, and in many ways, check this out, and in many ways, what you're going through is a dress rehearsal for the tribulation. Come on now. I don't think some of y'all heard that. I said, in many ways, what you're going through right now is practice. It is a dress rehearsal for one of the most wicked days that will ever be seen on planet Earth, and that is the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of tribulation. This is not the tribulation, but it is a foreshadow of it. And so they're exercising their manipulation over you, they're exercising their control over you, and they're doing a good job of it. People are pressed, people are stressed. And many will do just simply what somebody tells them to do just because they said it. And if you spend your time sitting back every night watching CNN, no wonder your mind is fried. How about listening to the Word of God? My wife said to me this morning the same thing she says every Sunday morning. Put on some praise music. Why? Because we've been battling all week, and on the way to church, we want to be thinking. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the sanctuary, the place of the Most High. In other words, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord, because the world is not going to encourage you. They're going to discourage you. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Think on good things. Think on positive things. Think on godly things. Don't study the strategies of this world, because this world is after you. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, Jesus, the master of the world, the master of the universe, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life to the full, abundant life, life with fulfillment. That's what God wants you to have. I saw a pastor just this past week who asked me, hey, how's the church going? I get asked that all the time. How's the church going? And I answered him. I said, well, we're about 50%. Look around. That's about what we are. We're about 50%. I said, we're in the building. And he cut me off right quick. He said, oh, I know y'all are in the building. Why'd you ask then? If you know so much about me, what you asking me for? He said, I know y'all are in the building. He said, we're not. We're having a meeting this week to determine if we leave the parking lot and what we do next. Okay. I didn't say anything. Didn't say anything ugly, and I'm not going to say anything ugly today. But I just wonder, how can the church so easily be manipulated and controlled and run all over the place and looking stupid? How can we take this relationship that we have with Christ Jesus when he says, listen, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even the more so as you see the day approaching with a capital D, that day that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. How can you forsake the assembling of yourselves together? Well, we're assembling online. I've assembled online before. I don't like it as good. I don't. I want to be there. I bought the CD. I'd rather go through the concert. Come on. I mean, I got the CD, but I'd rather go to the concert. I got Spotify, but I'd rather hear the person sing it live. Okay? There's nothing like being in the presence of God's people. Today, already, if I left right now, if I just dropped the mic and walked out of the building, you know what I've got today? I've got an infusion of power and strength and boldness and tenacity that comes from the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. My spirit has been encouraged if I quit right now and walk out of here. But I ain't quitting. I'm going to finish preaching this message. Okay. You receive tremendous encouragement when you come to the things of God. His favor will come to us if we'll stand with him even in the midst of the fire. God is calling on his church to stand. God is calling on his church to stand up for his kingdom, no matter what's going on in the earth. Listen, there's a powerful picture that I want to share with you this morning. It was taken back in 1936 in Germany. Take a look at this picture. It was at the time of a launch of a German ship called the German Army Vessel. Hundreds of men and women were there that day, holding up their arms in salute and allegiance to the Nazi party. They were there, and everyone, well, almost everyone, were giving their hand of allegiance, were giving their salute to the Nazi party, then evil leader Adolf Hitler, except for one man in the middle of the crowd who does this. He just folds his arms as if to say, I'm not giving allegiance at all. I refuse to salute. This man's name, you can Google it all you want to. It's there. His name was August Landmesser, better known as the man who refused to be allegiant to the Nazi regime. This bold and courageous stance cost this man. And it cost his family great danger. They charged him with treason. They killed his wife. They took his two daughters and tossed them into foster care. And Landmesser himself ended up in one of his own concentration camps in Auschwitz. Can you imagine that? So you know what? They'll do it to their own people if you don't comply. Are you hearing me? If you don't comply. And they're working on you in America right now. They're working on you. Listen, it started when you have to be what? Politically correct. It's not right to say that. They started just whittling away at godly things, whittling away at great character and good values. They started whittling away. And you know, they just keep whittling and chiseling and whittling and chiseling until they just now just come boldly and tell you what they're going to do. And they're going to do it. The story of Daniel is similar to this event in Germany, but the end of the story is quite different. Daniel chapter 3, 1 to 6, I'm reading from the NLT. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. Can you imagine that? 90 feet. Listen, I got a little gold ring on my finger. Can you imagine a statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide? This brother's bigger than the pawn shop. Come on. He builds this statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, the officials, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue that he had set up. So all the officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, languages, listen to the king's command." This is control. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone, look at verse 6, and anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. You're seeing the king is commanding everyone to worship this image. Everyone faced the same pressure. Social pressure. What you going to do? What you going to do? You going to do it? You taking it? You wearing it? All kinds of stuff is buzzing through the atmosphere. What do you think about it? Will it cover the other strains that are coming out? There all kinds of questions on the minds of Americans all day long, every day. Is it going to work? Another strain. Now 6 strains, 7 strains. Can I tell you something? The pandemic's not going away. It's not going away. If not this, then something else. You just happen to be alive right now at a strategic time on planet Earth when God Almighty is fulfilling the chapters of His book one by one by one. You're alive at a critical time. You're alive at a time because God knew you needed to be here on this earth, and He's looking for a church and a child of God who will stand up and be strong. And after you've done everything you can to stand, what does Paul say? Stand therefore with your loins girded about with truth. Put on the helmet of salvation. God is calling you to stand. Today in our world, people are facing the pressures to conform. And if you don't conform, you're shunned. You have to be careful. I offend people easy. It's part of the call, I guess. But I don't mean to offend people. You know, I have to turn around. I get out of the car when I go in somewhere, and I go, up, 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 up. I got to go back. Why? Because I got 50 masks on the dash, and I need one of them. I can't help it. I don't conform easy. I don't conform easy. You know what? I'm just as informed as you. The mask works, the mask don't work. You can't use one, you got to use two. It's good for you, it's not good for you. You don't need to wear that, you do need to wear that. What do you know to be true? What do you know to be true? I know what I experience. I wear the thing very long, and I come out of there, and I tell my wife, I'm hyperventilating. I got to have some air. I can't stand it long. Am I different? Am I an oddball or am I normal? I know normal is just a sitting on the dryer, but please tell me I'm normal. Okay. But you're being controlled. You're being controlled. The government is trying to control you. And many of the world, many of the nation thought that all we need to do is get the right man in the office and things will change. Guess what? They're changing a lot. They're changing a lot. Every day they're changing. Every day. Guess what? We're going back to killing babies now. Okay? This week, abortion's in the news again, real strong. Just go back to killing babies. And go back to helping other nations kill their babies. We did that this week too. Folks, we need a move of Almighty God. If my people, which are called by name, my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord God Almighty would hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. We need a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in many cases have just joined up to the place to go in and have a little social time at 11 o'clock to 12 and get really bent out of shape if it goes too long. We need a move of the Holy Spirit that doesn't matter how long we stay in the presence of God. We need to learn how to entertain the presence of God. God's looking at this hour for people to call upon his name and worship him, to cry out in repentance. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. Forgive us. I believe if his people would turn to him, that he would release his favor upon his people. And this nation would once again receive the awakening of the Holy Ghost upon the land. Look at verses 10 to 12. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down to worship the gold statue. And when they hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, that decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, King, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods, and they do not worship the gold statue you've set up. Listen, church, these three Hebrew boys refuse to worship this false god. And King Nebuchadnezzar, be it as he tried so hard, could not shake their faith. Their faith in God would not allow them to stoop down to the same level as the pagans all around them. Verses 13 to 23. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up?" Don't let this be more Bible than you read this week. "I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" This guy's feeling his oats, isn't he? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, We want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. And he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Look, this is where the rubber hits the road, honey. King Nebuchadnezzar became furious, and he ordered them to be tied up and thrown into the furnace. Listen, that's the goal of the enemy. He wants to bring destruction to the people of God. He's not satisfied just distracting you. He wants to destroy you. We quoted it already. John 10, the thief comes only, but to what? To steal, to kill, and ultimately to destroy your soul in hell. That's what his goal is. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. That's why these three Hebrew boys made it. Jesus released his favor upon them right in the midst of the hottest fire anyone could have ever known. There's so many living today under intense pressure right now. But even in the pressure, we must stand for the truth. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if it means standing alone. Some of your friends aren't going to agree with you for your stance. Well, aren't you scared? Aren't you scared you were in Walmart? What's the difference? Well, aren't you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not alone. God is with me. God is going to watch over me all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. The angels of the Lord are encamping around about those who love and fear the Lord. I'm not afraid. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. That's what we have to convince ourselves, that we are not alone. You're not in this thing by yourself. What's on the news? I don't know. I don't watch it. I pass through it, and I start to hear it, and I click it off to something else. Thank God for Andy Griffith and Little House on the Prairie. Praise the Lord. Love Aunt B. Love me some Aunt B. The worship team comes back. Let me just leave you with some admonitions. It's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. None of us know where we're heading. But I do know this. We're on a downhill slope, and we're getting there fast. And you're alive at such a point in time that God knew that you would be alive today. You were chosen to be alive on planet Earth in this season. And when you are in the fiery furnace of this life, if you don't hear anything else I say, please hear this. When you are in the fiery furnace of this life, don't you budge. Stand in faith. Don't you budge. Stand your ground. Hold on to your faith. Lean on Jesus. His favor will rest upon you. And don't you bow. The boys refused to bow to the gods of this world. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was mocked by King Nebuchadnezzar, claiming to be more powerful than the God they served. Even though they were persecuted because of their faith, they never gave in. Listen, even when you're in the fire, his favor is upon you. His strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul said. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, church, it's not time to sell out to a system. It's time to be completely sold out to Jesus Christ. Not time to sell out to a system. It's time to be completely sold out to Jesus Christ. Verses 24 to 27. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement. Check this out. And exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them in the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty. We certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men, unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the 4th looks like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Remember what we said? Don't budge. Don't bow. Because if you don't budge and don't bow, you won't burn. Okay? If you don't budge and you don't bow, you won't burn. The 4th man will always show up in your fire. Favor showed up in the fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you know what there is? Freedom. Listen, let a man examine himself. Hey, Pastor, you say some harsh stuff, man. You hurt my feelings. Get over it. Get over it. I'm not here to hurt your feelings, but I am here to inspire you. I am here to encourage you. I'm here to let you know there's not a weapon formed against you according to God's word that will prosper. I'm here to tell you that you're called to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. God will bless your going out and your coming in. Listen, God is a God who does not fail. He does not fail. He's not sleep. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's a shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. Come on, let's get the word of God in you and let the word of God feed you and turn the thing off so you don't have to listen to the report of the devil. Come on, somebody. Listen to what the Bible says. Be infused and empowered and imparted with faith and watch God do exploits for you. Don't you allow the furnace of criticism and intimidation and hatred cause you to give it up. God will deliver you. Verses 28 to 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God." Check this out. "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god." This guy's whole kingdom is crumbling right before his eyes. But he cannot discount the power of God Almighty. And he said they were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, check this out. "Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb." He done gone to stop burning folk and start ripping their arms off now. "They're going to be torn limb to limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted. Come on, if you go through the fire, you got a promotion coming along. I love it. I love it what happened in 2020. 2020 was a good year. God did some incredible things in the United States of America in 2020. You have to scratch your head and think about it, but it's true. God just did some amazing things, and he keeps on doing amazing things, not just collectively in our nation, but he does it individually in our lives. My son sitting right here on the front row. in the midst of 2020, in the midst of pandemic, when everybody's hollering, losing jobs and cutting back and we can't pay, receives a promotion right in the midst of the pandemic and now has been moved to a salaried position. Tip your hat, sir. You're in the salary world and God has promoted you right in the midst of the pandemic. Faithfulness is honored. Faithfulness is celebrated. Faithfulness is promoted. This man warns anyone who would speak against their God. What the devil meant for evil, God will always turn around for their good. Verse 30 says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. God will allow at times for you to go through the fire. But the fire will not go through you. The fourth man will always show up and favor will be released. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the river, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Dr. George Wood was asked the question. If you were given a Bartimaeus moment, a blank check, and could have any one thing that you could have, what would it be? Dr. Wood said, I would ask for the Lord's favor. And you know by my preaching style and my homiletic, I'm done. Okay? I just tied that present together and put a bow on it for you. And here we are now at altar time. So I would ask you to stand, please. You just need the favor of God. I know the Holy Ghost is here. I know He is because He's already moved freely. Could I get my ministry team just to come and just flank the front of this facility right here? Come on, just step out. Stand right here in front. God is so good. God is so good. How many of you are here today and you just say, Pastor, you know I'm in the fire like everybody else, but I need the favor of God. Just come on, just step out of your seat where you are. Come and let someone pray with you. Come and let someone agree with you. Come and let someone touch you today, lay hands on you, declare good things over you. Come on, these guys will speak a prophetic word over your life that should align with your spirit and what you're feeling. Let the people of God encourage you today. Come on, sing it. Step out of your seat and come. If you can't do anything else, just come into this altar, this place of sacrifice. Find yourself a quiet place to lift your hands up and just get along with God. You don't have to let anybody pray for you, but come, come, come. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Come, be energized by the Holy Spirit. Come, receive an impartation of what God wants to deposit in your life today. Come.
glorious Lord Jesus. We thank you for our renewed spirits. We thank you for the encouragement of your word. And Lord, we take out of this place confidence and boldness to stand again and stand firm, not to be pushed around or pushed down, but to stand for what you are and what you say, to believe your word more than we believe the world, and to trust you, Lord, and show the most genuine love by our trust in you. No matter what rises up against us, no matter what strategies the enemy has, we believe you more. And we will stand firm, and we will proclaim your truth, and we will make a difference for your kingdom. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We trust you for everything. Your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Be blessed.